Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast, and we are joined by our very regular guest, Tory Truitt, the health bloke. So welcome to the show, TT.
Thanks for having me, DK.
Guys, today was a bit of a random episode. We actually just finished recording a product review for Tory's podcast, which is the Health Bloke podcast, so go and check that out if you haven't already. And TT, you've done a number of marathons and ultra marathons, haven't you? How many have you actually done?
Yeah, I've completed 16 marathons as of November last year. Was my 16th, it was the New York Marathon, and I've also completed 12 ultra marathons. And an ultra marathon, for the listener, is anything between 50 and 100 Ks.
Which is a huge effort. And I think, I'm not 100% sure because I'm not a marathon runner myself, but people are now starting to get to the point where they're getting ready to start prepping for marathons this year, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Sort of coming up to that season. Unfortunately for those that are stuck in Melbourne, their prep is during winter, which is a little bit harder. But again, yeah, anyone that's looking to do a race in 3 or 4 months' time would certainly be starting to prep now.
Yeah, and I suppose my first taste of it last year when we did a half marathon up in Mackay in Queensland. And I think it'll be a while till I pull on the runners and have a crack at the full. But I wanted to just go through today, I guess, how you would structure your preparation for a marathon, maybe even some tips on race day and just your experience, because I know a number of the listeners, I've got feedback in the past where people are either doing triathlons or marathons, half marathons. Even if someone is, you know, thinking in the back of their mind at some stage they would like to do a marathon, maybe just a bit of an inside look at what actually goes on and how you should structure your program might get someone across the line to actually having a crack. So I might just let you kind of take over now.
Sure.
And just run through, I guess, basically, as I mentioned, the preparation leading up to it, where you'd start, where you'd finish, and then maybe just a few tips for race day and anything else you think would be beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely, DK, and certainly feel free to ask me questions as I ramble along, because it has been something that I've been doing. And the reason I actually got into marathon running is when I first started my personal training business, I was training a couple of clients for a marathon, and I'd never done one myself, or had never trained any clients for a marathon, but I was doing a lot of the work with them throughout the week, and certainly their volume work on the weekend. So it got towards race day and I thought, well, I might as well run it with them to support them and try and mentor them and help them get across the line, because as much as the physical prep is important, race day mental prep is also really important. I think a lot of the time that's overlooked. So I sort of fell into it. I had done a lot of research and reading about how to structure a marathon program. And I was training two girls who were friends, similar body types. One was a little bit leaner. And if I was to review her program now, she was probably ready to do the marathon. I probably overcooked her. She was probably ready to go 2 weeks prior.
Okay.
So since then, you know, I've really looked at the individual and looked at their background of running in terms of whether they need a 12-week or a 16-week program. If they've got a running base or a running background, I reckon you could probably get away with a 12-week or a 3-month structured program for a marathon.
Yep.
Because it does need to be structured, and I reckon you at least need 4 days a week of running specific training. And when I talk about running specific training, one of those sessions would just be a long slow run. So running under and slower than your race pace, just to get a foundation, get a base. That would be a comfortable run. I think there needs to be a speed session as well, so a speed and strength session that can be run in terms of intervals or tempo training. I also think there needs to be a race day training session, and particularly regardless of whether I'm riding a half marathon program or a marathon program or even an ultra, I always have a program or 2 days, which I call the sandwich, where you're running back to back.
Yeah, okay.
Just to get your clients used to running on fatigued legs, because I think a lot of people in training actually never get to the stage where they're running the marathon distance, and I never suggest that you go out and you'd run 40 Ks in a training session, but I would back up clients in 2 days so they're at least covering the volume.
Running on heavy legs as well,
absolutely, running on heavy legs, because when you come to race day, you can't sort of mimic the pain and discomfort that you get at the end of the marathon. You know, the 35K mark, when you think you've got 7Ks to go, in training, it's very hard to replicate that. The best way I've found to replicate it is to do a solid session on the Saturday and then back it up in the morning and do a Sunday strength session or a speed session where you're trying to race at race pace. And I think even for the novice, for a first-time marathon runner, I know they'll say, all I want to do, Tori, is complete the marathon.
Yeah.
But in the back of their mind, I think they would have an idea of what time they want to run.
Yeah.
Whether that be 5 hours, 4 hours, 3 hours 30, or the great 3 hour barrier, in their mind, that have a time.
Yeah.
And throughout the, whether it be a 12-week program or a 16-week program, I would ask them that, and I'd say, DK, do you have a time in mind? And you'll say no, and I say, okay, well, part of your training program is you're going to race a 10K.
Yeah.
Part of your training program is you're going to race a half marathon.
Yeah.
And from those times and from those race simulations, we'll be then able to extrapolate a guesstimate in terms of what you're going to run.
Yeah. I suppose it's probably beneficial as well. It's almost like saying, you know, training for a football grand final, but not actually playing a game of footy throughout the season, just rocking up grand final day.
Yeah.
Nerves and all that type of stuff, you're not going to be able to replicate unless you actually go out and have a crack, even if it's not a full distance.
Totally.
So half, or like you said, a 10 or something like that, at least you're there on the start line with everyone. And
And you see it all the time, DK. It's your sleep the night before, it's your breakfast the night before, it's your hydration pre-race, it's your hydration during the race, it's the clothes you wear. So many people get caught up in the atmosphere, and I've been caught up in it, you know, and I think everyone, if they run for a period of time, they'll fail at one stage. And I had a terrible race, one of my first ultras at Bruny Island. It was 65Ks, and they let us off in waves. And obviously the faster guys went towards the end, and then ideally you'd catch up to everyone. So I was one of the last ones to take off. I had a couple of my mates that I just did New York with, actually, and they were my support crew, and they were in the car, and we were playing this, you know, heavy music and doof doof, and they were cheering me on. I think I went through the 40K mark, you know, way ahead of schedule, around, you know, 3 hours 15, so, and a 65 kilometer race. I was passing all the runners, and I think, oh, I'm going to win this. It's my first or second ultra, and I got to the 50K mark or 55K mark, and I said to my mate, I said, how long have we got to go? And he said, oh, just a couple of Ks. And I knew on my Garmin I had 10 Ks, and he said it was a couple of Ks, and at that stage I'd hit the wall. And I just stuffed up my race plan, my race prep, my drinking, my nutrition, all that sort of stuff.
And you mentioned another thing that's hard not to get caught up in is the start.
Oh,
you mentioned that as well. Even in a half, when we did that last year, it was really hard not to follow everyone else and not stick to your own plan.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing, DK, in training, and that's why I try and identify a rough time that clients want to run, because then we can plan out the marathon. And I never say to a client, it's not 42.2 Ks, it's four blocks of 10 Ks and then a 200 meter sprint or whatever you want to do towards the end, because then you can break it down and say the first block's going to be 45 minutes, and you break your Ks down and say, okay, you're going to do 4:30s. You know, and I never say, you know, some clients like to, or some runners try a negative split, you know, so they go out slower and then run the second half faster. I reckon it's really hard and it's really dangerous, and you can blow up that way.
Yeah.
So regardless, if I'm running at 100Ks, I'll say, okay, I'm going to sit at 5 minute K pace. If I'm running a marathon, it might be 4 minute 15s or 4:20s. If I'm running a half marathon, it might be 4 minute K pace. And then I just extrapolate that over the journey. So whether it be a 10K, 21K, 42 or whatever, it's one pace. You know,
you just hit your numbers.
Just hit your numbers, exactly. And you try and keep it as simple as possible.
Sure. Now, in regards to, you mentioned before how you're doing your lot, like the four running days. How would you actually structure? So obviously you're not going to start out running a ridiculously long distance if you're just starting your training.
Yeah, totally. Phase.
How big increases do you make throughout the, let's say, 12 weeks? How much would you jump each week?
Yeah, I try and keep it under 10% in terms of your volume. You know, so week one might be a 4K run, a 5K tempo, so where you're altering your pace a little bit, and then you might, on the Saturday, might do a strength session, so that might be 20 minutes of flat running and then some hill repeats. And then the next day you'd get up and you'd run 8Ks.
Okay.
You know, and then the next week you might go, you know, obviously a little bit further.
Yeah.
So it's just that one long run a week.
Mm.
I increase, you know, in terms of your distance on the weekend, and then you'll alter your intervals of your speed. So as you get further and further in the program, you'll always have a long slow run. So your LSD or your slow one with, you know, a couple of your mates might start at 30 minutes and then it'll go to 40 minutes, then it'll go to 50 minutes, and your LSD will end up being 2 hours. You know, and your volume work on the weekend is, I might go out and do a race pace, you know, 15K on the Saturday, where I'm racing at race pace, and then get up the next day and do 20Ks. So then that's 35Ks, and that would be probably 4 weeks out from race day.
And what TT means when he says race pace is, as you mentioned before, if he's trying to hit five, you know, 5 minute Ks, that's his race pace where he goes for his run.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, it might not be flat out, but it's exactly, he's trying to emulate exactly what he wants to do on the day of the race.
And you can't be too caught up. I mean, these days there's so many fun runs going around. But there'll be race, there'll be pace setters for you, and you can't put all your confidence in a pace setter. And I've had a bad experience when I did the Canberra Marathon. I was sticking with this guy, thinking I was just going to go, and it was supposed to be training for Comrades. The week before, I'd done a 55k run, and I thought I'd just roll around this in 3:30. And I said to the pacer, I said, "Mate, you're going way too quick." And he goes, "No, no, you go, we're right. And at the halfway mark, he'd blown up everyone. It was just me and him, and we went through in a 3:04. And he was supposed to be a 3:30, you know, that's like insane. It was ridiculous. So you can't put you can't rely on the pace setter. These days, you've got access to good watches, you know, and I think the easiest thing to do, because sometimes you can get too consumed with watching your watch, you should be able to feel a pace.
Feel it,
and that's the true indication that you're in tune with your body, is feeling your running pace, knowing when you need to drink, when you need to eat and all that sort of stuff as well.
I think a lot of listeners, I know I probably would have thought this until I actually started looking into training and stuff properly, but thinking of training leading into it, would think that the long, slow distance runs are is the most important thing. How important is the actual speed training and doing stuff where you're actually generating power and going, you know, at almost sprint pace to build up that power through your hips and your glutes and strengthening your hammies?
Yeah, it's really important. I think, apart from, you know, the speed training, which you talk about, which is, I reckon, probably 65% of the way you're going to perform on the day is going to do with your physical conditioning. And that's why for all my clients, I always say inside strength training and outside strength training are particularly important. So you've got to do some speed work, whether that be 1Ks, 500s, 2Ks, some track work, some hill repeats. Early on, you might do some stairs or something to get some strength and power. As runners, you can be the best runner in the world. I shouldn't say you wouldn't be the best in the world, but you can be a very competent runner and still not have glutes that activate, or you still might have really poor posture, or you might have anterior tilt of your pelvis, which just really impedes the ability on race day to perform at your peak capacity. For those that know me as a runner, I've got a runner's build. I'm a bit mesomorph, but when I start running, I drop some weight. But particularly for ultra marathon running, I reckon you need to be a little bit heavier and stronger towards the end of the race.
That was one thing I was surprised with, even for the half marathon training that we were doing. You know, the amount of speed work that we're doing, those sessions, those short high intensity sessions were bloody hard. It was almost like, you know, pre-season for football or something like that, whereas when we came into it, I thought we'd just gradually increase the long distance run every week and be good to go. But you know, I think you and I both had a bit of a problem with glute activation in the past, and that'd be something worth mentioning, is before you actually start your prep for marathon training, if you're coming into your 12-week training block with a niggle already, or if you're struggling to get your glutes activating, or you know your gait's no good or something like that, then it's not going to get better throughout the 12 weeks. So you really need to be on top of that before you begin your prep.
Yeah, I think you've got some really good videos on your YouTube channel too, DK, about glute activation and hip flexor stretches and exercises like that. And probably in the past, years ago, I neglected that because I was of that old mindset where it's all about volume, and trying to replicate that. But even my lead up to New York this year, I sort of fell apart a bit trying to do the speed work without being particularly conscious of doing the prehab component of racing.
Yeah, so your training block might be 12 weeks. You may even have a 4 to 6 week block beforehand of strength training in the gym, stuff like hip dominant movements like Romanian deadlifts, all your squats, single leg variation type stuff, and just really nailing your glute activation to make sure that when you're actually running, everything's firing like it's meant to.
Totally. And on that, I love single leg work when I'm training for running, just to get try to simulate as much as possible your running pattern or your running gait. Because if you do a lot of double leg lifting, that you might be putting 60% through one side of your body and 40% through the other. So if I've got a weaker left side and I can only do 12 reps on my left, then I won't do any more reps on my right. I won't try and keep that balance.
Yeah, I just put up a blog post actually a couple of days ago on DannyKennedyFitness.com about muscle imbalances. So check that out if you are suffering from something like that. I think majority of people have at least some form of a muscular imbalance.
Yeah.
I just wanted to finish this off. We'll try and keep this relatively short, but finish off with any race day tips.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've gone over the running stuff.
But yeah, and there's heaps more we can talk about, DK, and we can do it in future episodes in terms of structuring a beginners-based program for your listeners if they want to go through that, because there's a lot to it. But race day prep is really important. And again, it's not something you can just do on the day. It's something you need to practice. And, you know, I'd get my clients to do it in training, you know. So the marathons are always in the morning, so whatever time it in the morning is, whatever race day is, you've got to get up and have your breakfast, you know, and do all your prep and your hydration, and even getting to the start line. Like, you know, I like to be super organized to get to the start line, you know, and make sure I've got my bib on and know where I'm going to stand and you know, start from and when the first drink station is. One of the things I used to do is I used to carry all my hydration, because I don't like to be forced to drink when there's a drink station there. So I'd carry you know, some water or some gels, and always have one on at the start line. But race day prep, particularly important, is obviously sleep and nutrition first and foremost. Getting to the start line, making sure you're hydrated. Making sure you, simple things like the gear that you've got on, you've trained it before. You know, the amount of times I've seen people with new shoes or bleeding nipples, things that just shouldn't happen. You know, but people get carried away with it, or they go to the expo the day before and they get carried away with these new gels and they never tried them before, so they end up getting the runs, or they get too you know, caught up in the atmosphere and they go out too hard, and they you know, you've really got to stick true to your race day strategy. And the harder the training is, the easier the race is. So if you have done everything possible in the in your training program to, you know, match up with your race day performance in terms of how you want to race, you shouldn't have a problem, you know. And visualize it, you know, what's the best case scenario? Best case scenario is I'm going to go sub 3 hours. What's the worst case scenario? You're going to hit the wall at, you know, 38 k's. And then there's obviously a scenario in the middle. So I think for someone that's doing their race, whether it be your first or your last, you've done plenty of them, we can always improve, but I think we've got to be clear in terms of what our race day goal is, whether it is just to get to the finish line or if you want to run a time. But regardless, you want to be as comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
And I always say, it doesn't matter whether you're the best runner, like a marathon runner, the start of the race is always going to be uncomfortable, you know, until you get to that steady state and, you know, you get rid of the nerves. So
if you go into it knowing that, it's a lot, you got a lot more peace of mind knowing that it's going to get easier. Well, not easier, but you're going to get more comfortable.
And I think another thing which people fail to do is understand the course. You know, like, where does the course go? It's 42 Ks. I think you've got to understand, is there any hills? Is there any turns? You know, do you need to adjust adjust your pacing strategy depending upon toilet breaks, fueling breaks, big hills, down? I can't run downhills. So, you know, if I hit a downhill phase, I might be, you know, going slower. Whereas some runners will fly downhills, then I'll need to pick it up on the flat. But it'd be every 10 Ks that I would check my watch, not every K. So I think there's heaps to think about and consider on race day prep. But ideally, you've identified how you're going to race during training. You've trained in your training gear. You know what breakfast you're going to have. You've trained with the tubes, the gels, the hydration platform that you're going to use on the day. And at the end of the day, you just get out there and enjoy it, you know. Like, soak it all in. Concentrate. Like, if you want to run a time, you do have to be switched on. You got to know that it's going to be uncomfortable. But for less than 5% of the population, never actually complete a marathon. So getting to the start line is winning, really. You know, like, the race is just a celebration of your training.
Yeah, 100%. I think the main thing to take out of what TT said today is obviously preparation's the key, as it is with anything. So if you guys have got anything in particular or more specific with marathon training or half marathon training, or even to do with on race day, we're more than happy to do a shorter episode or something on one specific topic. So if you do, send me an email at danny@dannykennedyfitness.com. Leave a review if you thought this episode was pretty good. Go back and check out some of the old ones, guys. We've done a few now, Tori and I. So also, as I mentioned at the start, go over to the Health Bloke podcast and subscribe to that. He's only just started it and already got a lot of good content. So be sure to do that. Hope you guys are having a great day and a great week, and look forward to chatting to you again in next week's episode.